All right, so let's do a little bit of Sefer HaChinuch today. And it's great to see everyone. I decided that I'm not wearing my jacket for this Chabura because I'm chilled. It's Friday. I'm in my house. I want to be relaxed. Donnie Sokol just took off his jacket. Lichvod my idea. This is very exciting. Everybody else, you know, just keep everything on. Donnie was the only one. Oh, Aviel, if you want to take off your jacket, you can do that as well.
Okay. I'm good okay. Right now.
We're living dangerously over here. Anyway, the Reshiva always says that when you're doing something in your house, you don't have to wear a jacket. When he was at Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel's house, he never wore a jacket. So I'm right now in my study. So that's the mile of being at home. So I'm at home. But usually I'm going to be a little more formal, but not for the Friday Chabura. It's like Friday is a different experience. Okay, so we're here in the Hakdama of the Sefer HaChinuch. And what exactly are we doing over here? We're really getting a proper hashkafa. It's very exciting. I hope this is going to be a whole new wave of what we do on Fridays. Some of you have been with us the whole time, including Donnie Sokol and I think Akiva Goldman, where we're literally going through hakdamas and we're really expanding our understanding of Torah. And what we saw last week was absolutely fascinating. And it's fascinating that this is from a sefer from hundreds of years ago. Again, this sefer is from a Rishon. We believe that it's a Talmud of the Ramban, the Ra'ah. We're not absolutely sure, but that's what we believe. And he says something incredible that really Yetzias Mitzrayim, I mean, this is something astonishing, which really I would think should be more famous. He says that really people should, when they saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, they saw the Eser Makos, and they saw, oh, Nisanel Jarasho, good to have you. Great to see you. He says that when people saw the Eser Makos and even Kriyas Yamsuf, they could have been under the impression that Moshe Rabbeinu was an impressive magician, believe it or not. And even though the Chartumim, the magicians themselves, backed off and they said that Moshe is functioning with the Etzev Elokim, with the hand of God, but despite that, you could have argued that not to believe them, that really Moshe is just a better magician. I quoted to you a fascinating Stipler. The Stipler has a different approach where he says that the magicians in Mitzrayim, even though they said it was the hand of Hashem that did all the makos, but if you were watching this, a skeptic, you would say the following amazing argument. You'd say, no, the magicians don't really believe that it's the hand of Hashem. They really think that Moshe Rabbeinu is a better magician than them. He knows how to do black magic better, but they're saving face and they don't want to lose their jobs as magicians. So what's the best way not to lose your job when you're a magician? Does anyone know? What's the best way if you're a magician not to lose your job if you see somebody else who's a better magician?
Blame it on Hashem.
Blame it on Hashem. Exactly. Go, Moshe's not a magician. It's the hand of God. We're the best magicians in the world, but you see, they're with God. So, but we really should keep our post. Fascinating from the Stipler, the Sefer HaChinuch is not a far cry from that. The Sefer HaChinuch doesn't really explain why, but he seems to acknowledge the fact that even after the Eser Makos, the Jews were not full believers. Again, I want to reiterate this point because it's so crucial to the hashkafa of the Torah. The Torah is Shalom Green. I like the twist. You're Shalom Green on Moshe Rabinowitz's phone. It keeps me on my toes. I'm glad you didn't not show your face. Otherwise, I would have thought Moshe Rabinowitz is on, but really it's Shalom Green. Anyway, something that's really important that I want to get through to you and to myself is that the Torah is against the concept of a leap of faith. There's a concept in the Christians have this idea of a leap of faith. A leap of faith is where something doesn't make sense to you and you just have to jump, my man, just jump. That's never the Torah's goal. The Torah does not believe in having a leap of faith. Hashem went to the nth degree so that the generation of the Midbar, at least, could know with absolute certainty that Hashem is their God. And that's why, even after Kriyas Yamsuf, he revealed himself at Har Sinai with a full prophecy. This is perfect preparation, by the way, for Shavuos. The Sefer HaChinuch says, even after the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jews were not full believers. They didn't know if Hashem really spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And at Har Sinai, they got a full-blown prophecy, which made them into believers, which made them into believers. So we don't believe in the concept of a leap of faith. By the way, I'm going to say something a little controversial over here, but something that I enjoyed. Even science, Darwin was the one who actually said the apicursis that man comes from monkeys, right? That was Darwin. And, you know, there are all sorts of interesting things, like the world came from explosions, all these apicursis. Something that I enjoyed that was actually written by a non-Jewish source, they write that the people who believe that man came from monkeys, they call it the scientific leap of faith. Isn't that an interesting term? I love that term. Scientific leap of faith. And I'll explain to you why. Because it's so poor, the proofs are so poor, and it's so against natural logic. Anything in your life that you've seen has been created, anything that's about a billionth of as complex as one cell in the human body has had a creator, but therefore, many have dubbed the theory of evolution and all these interesting things that make you want to believe there's no Hashem as a leap of faith, because it's actually hard for the mind to grasp that something was created from an explosion. I mean, anytime I try to think about this apicursis, that's a scientific leap of faith. It's actually hard for me. You're not supposed to think about apicursis, so you'll excuse me for raising the point. But what I'm trying to point out here is there's something called a leap of faith. A leap of faith is something that should not make sense intellectually. The Sefer HaChinuch is saying the Torah is against leap of faiths. To the point, Dovi Pfeffer, let me ask you a question. If you would have seen the 10 Makos, okay, for a year, and Kriyas Yamsuf, a splitting of a sea, would you have been, and you would have been provided with a cloud of glory, would you have been a believer?
Very possible.
Yeah, and you should know, the Sefer HaChinuch says that that's not enough to build a religion on. And Klal Yisrael needed to get each one of the people at Har Sinai had to get a personal prophetic vision at Har Sinai to know for sure that Hashem could speak to a man. They were still, and rightfully so, still suspect that maybe Moshe was an impressive magician. Maybe he had a relationship with God, but they weren't sure how serious it was. And therefore, the clincher was all the way at Har Sinai to get a prophecy to see how great Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was. Once they got that level of prophecy, the whole rest of the story is passing this down from generation to generation. And this is something that Akiva Goldman raised last time, which is that basically our religion is not based on a leap of faith. Our religion is based on trust of passing down a mass revelation. What it means is the following, that we trust our ancestors. We don't trust them with something that that's an intellectual trust. We trust them that they would, as the Ramban says in one place, that they accurately told over the story. We like to joke about the fact that how many shuls do you need on a desert island with two people? You guys remember the joke? Nobody remembers the joke. At least to remember the joke. This is a good joke. How many shuls do you need on a desert island with two Jews? Three. One shul for one guy, another shul for the other guy, and a shul that nobody goes to. That's how many shuls you need. So how do you get 600,000 men, Dovi Perkow. 600,000 men to and millions of women and children to agree if they're Jewish on one thing. The answer is it never happened in world history and in Jewish history, only one time. Everyone agrees that they had a personal prophecy from Hashem. If only a couple people would have had it, everybody would have argued about it. But since it was from every person got an individual prophecy, every person became what's called a primary source. What's a primary source? It's a good English word to use, right? A primary source is where I'm the source of the information. So Rebbe,
can I ask a quick question? I think Rebbe said last week that our religion isn't based off miracles. So many of our stuff, so many of the things that are in the Torah are miracles. Like a miracle is something that's illogical. And if it can't happen to us, if it wouldn't happen in a day-to-day life, then it's a miracle. And we've had miracles in our lives. And we're not based off miracles.
Right. So you're asking an amazing question. I'll tell you how I understand what's going on over here. According to science, a miracle is illogical. And I want to use the term I'm taking very seriously, Dovi, because the word illogical means against the way what the mind can comprehend. Why is a miracle illogical according to the secular science? Very simple. Because they've been documenting data about how the sky works, how the land works, how bodies of water work. And last time they checked, water never turns into blood. Last time they checked, wild animals don't just show up from nowhere. Last time they checked, food doesn't fall from the sky like the mun, right? So it's illogical. However, there's only one way that a miracle is not illogical. A miracle fits logic. And listen to this well. If you believe that there's a creator to the world, then every miracle is actually logical. It's just interesting that he never does this. He usually doesn't do it, but it's logical. If there's a creator and he created a system and he's the one who created that system, it's perfectly logical for him to decide to show a people that he loves them enough to change that system. That's logic. But if you're in a scientific mind, logic is documentation, and since the history of mankind and recorded history, there has never been anything like this. Bah, 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 bah. So that's how they define logic. But it's 100% logical that a creator can deviate, can change his system. Just like you, when you're driving your car, if you decide every day to go one way to shul and you want to take a new route, you can. I documented Dovi Pfeffer for the past 2 years, always makes a left on this street, a right on that street, and then he goes straight, straight, straight till shul. That's true. But if it's you who's driving the car, you can change your mind. So in a world with Hashem, a miracle is not at all against logic. It's actually just a feeling like a hug from Hashem where he's saying, hi, I'm here. Because he's the one who made the system. And I want to just focus on what Dovi's saying, because this is a huge thing that will help our emunah. There is a big point here, which is science's arguments are based on what's on principles of science. And therefore, things that they define as logical are not logical. They're just assuming things without a creator. When there's a creator, there's so many more things that are logical than science will allow. And it's something important to realize. There's nothing to be intimidated by with these secular scientists. After all the smoke is cleared, a lot of their arguments are based on premises of what they've defined as the laws of what the laws of logic are. I remember, I'll tell you something interesting. Once I was speaking, don't ask me why, but I had a conversation with the priest, and the priest was a philosopher from UCLA University. And we were talking about philosophy, and I was telling him something from the Chovos HaLevavos that if ink spills, if somebody sees a beautiful poem, And someone asked, hey, where's that poem from? You go, oh, it's very interesting. A cat jumped onto the table, spilled the inkwell. And in those days, they didn't have pens. They had inkwells. Spilled the inkwell onto the paper, and it dried as this beautiful poem. Would anybody in their right mind, scientist or not scientist, believe that there's such a possibility? The answer is no. You would not believe that it's a possibility. However, this priest had some rule books of philosophy, and he said that my argument is against philosophy. So to me, that's just a cheap way of getting out of something. You can't do that. Tell me what the laws are of philosophy. I'll tell you what the laws of philosophy are, you priesto. Anyway, if you make your own rules, to me, that's a perfect argument. It's something that makes perfect sense to me. I always say that when my mother, I've used this in the shmooze, when my mother bakes me a chocolate cake for my birthday that says, happy birthday, Dove, right? And she asked me why I didn't say thank you. And I say to her, very simple, because this cake is an explosion. You see, it's not really for my birthday. Molecules came onto the table and they spelled happy birthday, Dove. And it happens to be my favorite chocolate cake, but that's a completely random and unprovable fact. And, if my mother told my father about it when I was a kid, I would have run out of the house for dear life, right? But imagine a scientist who's so sophisticated with his Oxford jacket, and he's got that, you know, those cool pipes that go down, like the ones from Sherlock Holmes, those cool pipes. And he writes all these papers, and he goes to his mother, you did not make me this chocolate cake. He's going to get a spanking with all of his PhDs. His mother's going to start botching him. Why? Why is that fair? I mean, he's got a PhD. The answer is because he's an idiot. And he made rules for himself that don't allow God into his life.